It's time for TY's 20 on WordPress Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to talk some college hoops on the program today. Going to bring in Nathan Hazel here in a few minutes to talk about those Fighting Hoosiers and preview their season, as well as talk about some of the recruits they've been landing recently. So I look forward to talking with Nathan here in a little bit. This time of year is always exciting, especially when your team is ranked number one in the country. But before we do that, I wanted to say a few words about the Indianapolis Colts and also talk about the Pacers a little bit. I was at the game this past Thursday night to watch the Colts take on the Jaguars at Everbank Field, and the Colts continue to impress me. And you could say, well, it was just the Jaguars, and that's true. But you got to remember, the Colts did not have three of their top four defensive players playing in that game, and historically, the road team on Thursday nights don't fare very well. And the Colts went into Jacksonville, really took the fans out of the game early, and finished them off with a pick six in the third quarter. The Colts are now 6-3, and to be real honest, that's about how many wins I had them winning for the entire season, and they still have seven games left. And I'm not the only one. In fact, today, Bob Kravitz, a columnist for the Indianapolis Star, tweeted that even the Colts front office didn't expect the Colts to do this well this quickly. They thought the rebuild would take maybe 2 or 3 years before the Colts would be in playoff contention. So they've even shocked themselves, I guess you could say. Last week, I tweeted that I wasn't even going to mention the word playoffs unless the Colts could win both games this past week against Miami and Jacksonville, and they have done just that. So it's definitely time to talk about the chance of the Colts playing in the postseason. This year in the AFC, at least right now, it looks like 9 wins could get you there, which means the Colts would have to go 3-4 the rest of the way to get to 9 wins. And if you look at their schedule, that's a definite possibility. Now, winning in New England's going to be tough. Winning in Houston, not likely. But the other games are very winnable. We got Buffalo at home, Kansas City on the road, Tennessee at home, Detroit on the road. I could see them winning 3 of those 4 games, which automatically would get you to 9 wins. And I also think week 17 is a possibility against Houston at home, if you consider the fact that Houston could very well be resting players in that game, whereas the Colts could need a win to make the playoffs. So it is possible. Even winning 3 more games will still be tough. You know, this is the NFL. You can't just look at the schedule and think that you're guaranteed to win certain games. Buffalo, for example, only lost by 6 in New England this week. Tennessee just went to Miami and dominated. Detroit will be tough to beat on their home field. So there's still a lot of work to do, but it's exciting to know that the Colts have a shot. And hats off to one of the classiest organizations in sports. We're all pulling for you. It's very clear that the future is bright. And you go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. Only a handful of teams in the history of the NFL have gone from one franchise quarterback to another, and we couldn't be happier. Moving on now to talk a little bit about the Indiana Pacers. We just had a Pacer preview podcast a few weeks back, and I picked the Pacers to win 54 games and finish as the 2 seed this year. That's not looking very likely right now. Of course, when we did that show, we were unaware that Danny Granger was going to miss half the season with the knee injury. And, you know, he's the leader of this team, a huge blow for our offense. The Pacers are off to a 3-4 start. Granted, they have played a ton of games on the road, and they could very easily be about 6-1 right about now with 3 very close and disappointing losses. But it is what it is, and the Pacers have to find a way to grind out some wins and keep their head above water before Danny Granger gets back, and it's definitely not going to be easy. So far, the bench has been extremely disappointing. DJ Augustine is making Darren Collison look like John Stockton so far. Gerald Green clearly has talent, but he's not been consistent. Jan Mahimi has been okay, but doesn't look as good as he did in the preseason. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the added pressure of losing Granger. It could be just early season sloppiness, guys not gelling together yet, or worst case scenario, it could just be that these guys aren't that good and we made big mistakes in letting Collison go and bringing these guys on board. But in my opinion, it's way too early to know what this team is going to be this year. You know, they could very easily fall back to a 6 or 7 seed this season, Or there is still that chance that they could hang around and then get Danny back, get their mojo back a little bit, and then still contend for even a 3-5 spot if a lot of things go their way, since the East is wide open. Roy Hibbert so far has not even earned, I would say, half of his contract. But you got to believe he's going to play a lot better than what he's playing now. And there are some bright spots. Not everything is a Debbie Downer at this point. David West looks good. Paul George keeps getting better. Lance Stephenson, at least at times, looks like he's finally figuring things out, which would be a huge boost to the team without Danny. And I really like what I've seen out of George Hill so far. He's averaging 15 points, 4 boards, 5 assists per game. He's also hit some big shots, and I think so far has looked pretty good. This upcoming week for the Pacers, there's some winnable games coming up, and the Pacers just need to find a way to get their confidence back, that gold swagger, as they like to say. And to this point, you know, fans have every right to be a little panicked right now with this team, but I wouldn't throw in the towel of the season just yet. There's a long way to go.
Team for him. Here comes Rydell Jones. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Rydell all the way outside to Watford. 3 on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game. Christian Watford with a 3. And the Hoosiers have knocked off the number one ranked Kentucky Wildcats.
I listened and I thought. And I still come back to what I thought at the very beginning. If anybody asks me why, it's Indiana. It's Indiana.
Those are some sweet sound bites to welcome in the new season for the Indiana Hoosiers. And with that, we bring in IU insider Nathan Hazel. Nathan, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I know everybody's excited about this season. IU's ranked number one in the country, and the sky is the limit. And I don't want to skip over this season by any means. I'm going to enjoy every minute of every game this year. But I do want to talk about the 2013 recruiting class real quick and then come back to talking about this season. The past few weeks, the Hoosiers have landed 2 more major recruits for next year, Troy Williams and Noah Vonleh. And these guys go along with an already solid class for next year. Stanford Robinson, don't forget, is a top 50 player. Devin Davis, Luke Fisher, solid players. Is it safe to say, Nathan, that this IU team is a heavy Final Four favorite for the next 2 years at the very least? And what do you think about these guys in this recruiting class?
Well, first of all, I think what Crean and his coaching staff are doing are just flat out unheard of. You know, a couple years ago, we were getting guys like, we were on the radar for guys like Randy Abel and taking him from Bradley University, and then we were in the hunt for Connor Pierra, and we got him, and we took him from Baylor University. And now what you see is Crean getting guys from universities, and he's on the radar with individuals who perhaps go anywhere they want of their choosing. But what he's done is very unique. He gets a very diverse class, and when I say that, for example, last year's class, the guys who are freshmen now, he literally went out and he got every single position. 5 guys, 5 positions. One guy didn't turn out because of some academic standards, as you're aware of. But he's doing that again this year, only he's getting more diverse. Now he's not only getting some quality 4-year guys who can contribute right from the very beginning, but now he's getting one-and-done guys, guys who are top 10 nationally, that are in the hunt with other schools such as North Carolina and Kentucky and schools like that, especially with Noah Vonleh. I mean, what he's doing in the recruiting circuit, and now he's expanding from not just our state, he's captured our state back, which produces an enormous amount of talent. Now he is out on the East Coast, and he is doing the same thing there. So it's just been unreal and unheard of what Coach Crean has been doing, and you're exactly right what has happened. If you set us up for the perfect scenario of every single year being contenders, and that hasn't been something that we've been used to the past couple of years, but it seems to me he's setting it up to where there won't be much drop-off, and that's why he wants depth, and that's why he is getting some of these top guys from around the country.
It's very exciting. You know, Noah Vonleh is our top, well, as far as nationally goes, the best recruit we have landed since Eric Gordon, when you think of the rankings. And I personally love the fact that these guys committed to IU based on Tom Crean and based on the tradition of the program. And the way I see it, even if Cody Zeller goes pro, IU's going to have a top team next year as well. You know, let's say that they lose Watford, Zeller, Holes, and Elston. You would think that that would be a huge drop-off for a team. But look at who the team would still have. Farrell, Williams, Vonleh. If he's, yeah, senior seasons out of Oladipo and Sheehy, Hollowell, who's going to be a real good player eventually. You'd still have Hunter, Fisher, Robinson, Maurice Creek senior year. That's a top team even without Cody Zeller. Tom Crean is the man.
Yeah, you did a great job of explaining who we will have returning, but don't forget little fan Robinson, who will come in as a lefty point guard and create some havoc on both ends of the floor. It is just unbelievable, and it's something that Hoosier fans should be excited about. What I love most is the comments from every single one of these guys. Absolutely loves and appreciates the fans just as much as the fans appreciate them. And it's been pretty cool. Every single one of these players has had experiences, you know, being recruited by some of the top coaches, some Hall of Fame coaches, and you know how good of a coach and how Willard Williams will perhaps go down in the Hall of Fame. He has won titles at North Carolina. But one of the key quotes that I will probably always remember in Vonleh's, coming out of Vonleh's mouth just recently, was the fact that he was getting recruited by all these coaches, and he literally said Tom Crean was the only guy who convinced me that he could get me better. The other guys just told me what I'm already doing that is so good. And so he's setting himself apart, and it is something that we shouldn't be taking for granted. We should just eat this up when we have it.
Yeah, and actually Troy Williams had very similar comments to that, so it's very exciting for us. You know, it's been a real long time coming since we've had teams with these capabilities in multiple years in a row. We've had a couple good runs with, you know, single teams, but I'm not going to pretend like we've always had this success in the last decade because we haven't. So it's a very exciting time to be a Hoosier fan. Let's talk some predictions now. Based on the schedule, how do you see IU doing this year in non-conference play, and then conference play, how many wins do you see the Hoosiers ending up with?
I see Indiana University doing the exact same thing that they did last year in non-conference. I think they wipe the table. I think they go 13-0, and obviously North Carolina comes to Assembly Hall this year. North Carolina is a top-ranked team. I think they're number 11 or 12 right now, and we will have a little bit of lack of depth for that game when it comes to our bigs, and so we will hope and pray that we stay out of foul trouble with Cody Zeller. But even with that said, I think we win that game, and that's really the only game that is somewhat debatable in my mind right now. You know, have some question marks, and I still think we win that one. We will go to the East Coast, where we've just been dominating the recruiting trail, and we'll play a couple games there. Looks like it'll be Georgia and UCLA or Georgetown, depending on who wins that. And I think those will be games where it'll kind of show us where we're at this point in the game. But I think non-conference, we start at 13-0. And then we'll move into the Big Ten conference play. And what I see happening is I can't pinpoint what games we lose, what games we win. I think we'll win some big games that have some question marks. And I think we are a little... you know, we will perhaps come out and lay an egg on a game where we shouldn't, most like most teams do. I look for us to go about 27-4 in the Big Ten. Now, that would put us at our 14-4, making our overall record 27-4, which four losses in the Big Ten, the best conference in the country, hands down, would easily win the conference. I think they'll be beating up on each other. Now, when I say we're going to lose four games, obviously, no one can, mark that in with a pen right now. But I will say this, for the first time in a long time, Indiana University has an opportunity to win every single game. I'm not naive. I don't think that will happen. But there's not a lot of teams every year that can honestly be looked at as the favorite in every game. And that's exactly where we're at.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's going to be tough for anybody to beat IU from the non-conference schedule. So let's say they go 13-0 there. In Big Ten play, especially when they have such a high ranking, they're going to get everyone's best shot, especially on the road. So I'm with you. I think IU loses about four, maybe five games this year. I might even give them one home loss just to be a little safe, although I could see them running that table as well. And if you're talking four losses in the Big Ten, that's still a winning record on the road, which is extremely difficult to do in this conference. I could also see them maybe going 6-3 on the road in conference play. But as you said, this is such an exciting time to think that we could be in and win every single game, and it's been a long time since that's happened for us. What do you think about postseason play? I know it's hard to predict. They call it March Madness for a reason. It's hard to predict a championship, but I will say I fully expect this team to at least make a Final Four run. Anything less than that would probably be a disappointment.
No, I completely agree. It's a unique time of year, but I do think if our predictions are correct and we go 13-0 non-conference and we go 14-4 somehow in the Big Ten, that sets us up to win the Big Ten. And you know good and well, if you win the Big Ten, you'll receive a bye for the first round of the Big Ten tournament. And I think as long as we win one game, which should be almost guaranteed, as long as we win one game, we're looking at a one seed coming out of the best conference in America going into that tournament. So that plays well for us. That will get us, hopefully, through the first two rounds, give us an opportunity to kind of get used to that. Some of our key freshmen like Yogi, give them an opportunity to play under that spotlight. And then when you look at moving forward, whenever you're a one seed, you know that teams get, for the most part, to play as close to home as possible, and you're looking at a Sweet 16 site that is held inside of Indianapolis, Indiana. That plays well for the Hoosiers. And then when you look to the Final Four, after coming off basically a home Sweet 16, you're going back to Atlanta, where there was some unfinished business when our team was the only team to give Kentucky a run for their money. And so there's some unfinished business there. And I think this team is hungry. They're saying all the right things, but I think they're following it up with actions as well.
Absolutely. You made a note about being hungry. My final question for you is, the team itself this year, what are you most excited for, and what challenges do you think will come their way? Because for me, I think staying hungry and staying humble is the biggest challenge when you have these expectations. I think Crean is the right guy for the job in this regard. You can't ever feel like you've arrived in this sport. Got to keep everybody together and getting better. And know that every single night the opposing team wants to rush the floor against you this time around. And if IU wants to be a one seed in the tournament, they can only afford a handful of losses. So I think playing time will be a bit of a challenge when you have so much depth. But what about you? What do you think is the biggest challenges this team's faced, and what are you most excited for?
That's an interesting question. I'm excited for a whole lot. I mean, just the scenarios of Holes playing with Yogi Ferrell and having the opportunity to get even some deeper and open, more open looks. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity. If you remember, Yogi Ferrell committed to Indiana University for one reason at that time, and that was to play with Cody Zeller. So I think it's going to be an exciting year watching those two. And the progress that Yogi's made in this short amount of time has been fun, and it will be extremely enjoyable having perhaps one of the best point guards and one of the best big men in the country playing side-by-side with one another throughout this year. Now, something, I don't know if it's a concern of mine, but something that it'll be interesting to see how it plays out is to see how these guys react on the road. And Assembly Hall, we saw last year, granted it's a little bit of a different team, last year in Assembly Hall, we protected our court. There wasn't too many times where we left opportunities for people to take one from us. But when we went on the road, we kind of got ourselves in a little bit of a trouble, and you know, we squeaked out of some of those games. But if you remember, we went to Nebraska last year and we dropped one. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how these guys respond on the road, because every single place we play at, Indiana travels well, but everywhere we play, that place will be loaded to see the number one team in the nation. And so everyone will be against us. We will have our backs to the wall, and we will have to do what great teams do, and that is respond and just go from there. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but it's certainly going to be an exciting year for Hoosier fans.
I agree with you there, and Nathan, it's always great having you on the show. Look forward to talking more Hoosiers with you later in the season. Thanks for stopping by for us.
All right, man, we'll see you later.
That's all the time we have on today's show. Make sure you check out TYS20.com and follow me on Twitter, sports_TYS_20. Thanks for joining us. And as Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. We'll see you next time.